Great. Starting from verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that it speaks to us, the way it spoke to us this weekend. Would you speak to us once more today through Lloyd? Would you encourage our hearts as we look at what it means to be a wonderful, be a part of a wonderful team? Amen.
Amen. Well, keep them Bible the verses in. But let me first take you back to April 2024. It's when I played my last competitive rugby match. It was for the local village team that me and my wife were living at the time. Lovely day, right? Sun was shining. Everyone out to watch some local grassroots rugby and some of my mates in the crowd as well. None of my teammates knew it, but this was going to be my last hurrah. I knew there weren't many sprints left in my hamstrings. The continued repeated injuries and rehab was mounting up. The show and go was not what it used to be. I could still show, but when I tried to go, it was another pulled hammy. So I was taking the warm-up easy. Some of the younger boys in the team had noticed this and were calling me out. And I just said to them, look, I got about 5 good sprints left in me. I'm not going to waste them in the warm-up. And it's that wisdom that enabled me to use one of them sprints to score on my final game in front of the home clubhouse. And do you know what? I sat in the club after it, and it was a weird moment, looking out on the pitch, and I just thought, that will do. That will do. What a joy. And you have this weird thing. I just sat there and thought, flip, loads of years, different seasons, different teams, different countries, different levels, but just a real thankfulness for the abilities God's given me and the opportunities God's given me. I reflected briefly that day in the clubhouse, but after for much longer. And I've really began to see the impact and importance of the various different people that God put around me during the years I got to play rugby. The good that they've been for me and how God has worked in and through me, hopefully, for their good also. And I could never have developed, could never have played, could never have stood firm for all those seasons in rugby without others around me. See, to be in competitive or elite sport is to do life alongside others. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in isolation. And I'll be honest, over the years, I've had a variety of coaches, a good mix of teammates, and despite often different approaches, different personalities, different characters, all in some way or form have shaped the player that I became. And my advice and instruction for any younger players years away from retirement would be to enjoy the coaches around you, enjoy the players around you, acknowledging, look, some naturally you're going to get on with more than others, but all will be necessary to helping you and shape you be the player that you are. And as we come to the end of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, we see his instructions to the new and growing believers that we've already heard so much about, that he loves dearly. And before we dive into the details and discover the wisdom provided together, Paul's advice to those beginning a journey's walk for a little bit longer ultimately is this. Standing firm and living a life following Jesus can't be done alone and is not meant to be done in isolation. We've had a brilliant weekend together, and we are so encouraging to meet with others that love sport, that love Jesus. And there's something that stirs us up when we have weekends like this. But let me encourage you, it's not going from here now in isolation. It's making sure that you keep having people around you to build you up. See, just like being in competitive or elite sport is to do life alongside others, to follow Jesus is to do life in Christian community with others. And the first point we're going to see together is this. If you look at verses 12 to 13, a Christian life is with others. Look at what he asks of those who belong to the Christian community in Thessalonica. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See, to be part of Christian community is to be led by others and to lead others. To live at peace with those that God has put around us. It's never alone. It's always with others. And Paul here says that we should acknowledge, we should uphold, we should be grateful and show love towards those who hold the responsibility to care and admonish us. Now stop there for a moment. Be honest with me. How many of you have lost, like have I lost with that word admonish? Oh, fair enough. It was just me and my prep then. You're all smart. That's good. But for my own sake, admonish means to correct, to counsel and to warn. I didn't know that when I read it for the first time. But that's what it means. Paul's telling them, look, for those who are in your life, longing for you to stand firm in your faith by caring enough to keep you going in the right way, by willing to correct you, offer counsel, even challenge, warn, or call you out on things, be ever so grateful for these leaders in your life. Hold them in high regard, is what Paul says. Because without them, the reality is you'd struggle. Now turn to the person next to you. Who has been the most influential coach throughout your sporting journey so far and why? I'll give you a minute. Most influential coach and why? Brilliant. I'm sure some great, current memories or past memories, when you think of people that God's put in your life that have really helped you in the sporting sense. And let's be honest, we wouldn't go far without those coaches willing to work hard and care enough for our development, to correct us, to counsel us, to warn us, to get alongside us. And Paul is saying the same here about our spiritual formation. We're not meant to live the Christian life alone. To stand firm in isolation, that's not the good thing to do. We're placed into a community where God puts people to work, care for, and admonish us for our good, our growth, and Christian maturity. We should lovingly appreciate such people and thank them for their ministry in our lives, is what Paul instructs the believers here. And maybe this is a good point to take note of those leaders God has put in your life. And as we start the new year, maybe drop them a message and encourage them by showing your appreciation for the gift they are to you by God putting them in your life. But as people who are led in community, we're also called to play our part too. It's not just about those in ministry to serve others, to be part of Christian community. You hold responsibility as well. Look at verse 14. What does Paul urge every believer to do? To take responsibility for warning those who are idle, disruptive. Everyone should encourage the disheartened, help the weak. All should show patience towards everyone, is Paul's instruction. This wasn't just the role of a select few, but the responsibility that came with being actively involved in Christian community. See, we are to contribute to the Christian community, to our local church, for our good and the good of others. Now think of your world of sport. Yes, we've mentioned the role a coach can play, but think of those you train with, play with, compete with, whether individual sport or team sport. We sharpen each other, right? When we call out being lazy or being unproductive or failing to play our part well. Because it doesn't just affect us. It negatively impacts others. The team, the badge you represent. There's a great story recently of a younger squad member of Saracens, and he hadn't been selected and was put out on loan. And he didn't kind of take to that well. And Owen Farrell, one of the senior and more experienced players, challenged him on his idleness and how disruptive it was to the preparation of the other boys who had been picked to play that weekend. And he simply told him and called him out, look, you're here to train hard and play your part. Not long after, this younger player had his first start for the Saracens and scored multiple tries on debut. And he was the one that referred back to this story and said, being called out by a fellow player helped me personally grow, but help me contribute to the common cause of the team. See, the local church is where God places us to be built up, to grow in our faith, full of people in different ages, stages of maturity, and in regular community is where we can be encouraged by others to stand firm and live out our faith. But all of us carry a responsibility to build others up in their faith as well, to encourage those around us to stand firm and live out our faith. See, in the local church, we contribute and we get challenged. We have responsibility to grow each other, to be the women and men God's called us to be. And can I encourage you at this point? I know you've heard it so much this weekend, but if you're not already committed to a local church where you can be built up and regularly encouraged in your faith, make this a 2026 priority off the back of New Year's training. Don't leave here and try and stand firm in isolation or on your own, because that's not what we're called to. We're placed in community to be built up and encouraged. Following Jesus and living the Christian life cannot and should not be done in isolation. And this is what Paul makes really clear in his opening instructions here. But then his second point he brings is this: a Christian life is distinct. Look at verse 15, where we read some countercultural stuff for those who follow Jesus. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Nobody should retaliate wrong for wrong. Boy, can you imagine a world where that was applied and outplayed fully? Rather than wronging those that wronged you, you strive instead to do something that is good for them. Paul acknowledged to you, look, the reality is you're going to be wronged by people in life, but don't do wrong back, is his instruction. Seek to do what is good for others, those in and outside your church community. It's easy to do good for those we like, hard to do good for those maybe we don't know or are disconnected from. And let's be honest, in a room full of sports people like this, we will have experienced being wronged in so many ways. Being wronged by people is inevitable, right? But as we stand firm in our faith, we should strive to be people who look to do good for others, regardless of what has been done to us. To live a life of faith, love, and hope, like we started with on Friday night. A life that serves, a life that stands firm and waits. See, at the time in Thessalonica, this attitude went beyond the morality of the culture and was characteristically Christian. It's what made them distinct as they followed Jesus. Duncan this morning in the workshop spoke about other areas where the Christian life, in light of the faith, love, and hope that they were called to, was so distinct from others living around them. See, I would say that this kind of idea still goes beyond the morality of our culture today. And the challenge still remains. Following Jesus requires a countercultural response to people's wrongs. As you stand firm and live out your faith in the world of competitive and elite sport, it's going to bring good to other believers and those who don't yet believe. Because as you live a life devoted to Jesus in worship, it's always going to be a witness to others, because they go, wow, what's different about you? Like, look at that injustice. Isn't that winding you up? Well, yeah, it's winding me up. Well, why aren't you responding this way? Well, because I follow Jesus, and I'm not going to let that wrong be ultimately turn into bitterness. But I'm going to choose to look to do good for those who wrong me. It's a challenge, right? What's that look like to be that kind of competitor in the world of sport? That when people wrong you, you respond with good. Good for others. Really, really challenging. And another area of distinction, look at verses 16 to 18. Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul instructs that in everything, because of Jesus, those in Christ have a reason to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Now, a show of hands here, who has stayed injury-free so far this season? Decent, nice. Who has been injured so far this season? Good mix as well. Who has achieved kind of your individual results this year or team selection? Nice. Who has been dropped from selection and not had the results you were hoping for this year? Yeah, I've mixed as well, right? It's easy to see, isn't it, that in sport, circumstances and seasons change quickly and often, especially in the world of competitive and elite sport. Good times and bad, easy and hard, times with little success and other times with much success. But what we know to be true as we find ourselves in Christ is this: because of the security and hope we have in the gospel, it always gives us a reason to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Now, let's be honest, to be joyful, to be prayerful, to be thankful can often go against our natural instinct when faced with different and difficult circumstances. There's been many an injury my side, many a bad performance. Well, let me tell you, rejoicing and thanksgiving were not my default response. Prayer maybe, but prayers along the side of why, God? Why? Asking kind of, yeah, what's going on with this situation? Surely this is not the best plan for me. But it's worth noting here that these verses tell us, it says to give thanks in everything, not for everything. See, some circumstances we'll face in life and in sport are evil and they're hard. And it's not saying give thanks for this, yet to give thanks in it for the truths that still remain. Your salvation achieved and future hope received through faith in Jesus Christ. So through every injury, it's not, oh God, thank you for another pulled hamstring. But God, even though I've got another pulled hamstring, thank you that my relationship with you and my hope forever is still secure, regardless of how strong my hamstrings are. In everything, not for everything. See, from this truth, we can stand firm despite the brokenness, suffering, hardships that life and sport can and will bring us. See, when we make a conscious decision to act upon what God wants from us, we'll begin to see our circumstances and the people around us in a new light. And we start to find the joy and reasons to be thankful in all things. Look, it's hard instructions. They're not kind of 24/7 actions, but it's more like an attitude and a posture that Paul is encouraging us in you. So as you reflect on your own life, the circumstances you faced or maybe still facing that are really hard, how can you have a posture of joy, prayer, and thankfulness in and through all things? Whilst not suppressing the emotions of the things you face and not pretending, you have to be happy for what you're experiencing. So maybe it's a good point, dear, and I'll just say a little prayer for us before we move on. That God help us in living according to your will in and through all things. God help us grow a posture of thanksgiving in whatever comes our way for the truths that still remain. That our salvation achieved and future hope received is from Jesus and his work alone. May this always give us the posture of joy despite tough seasons. And thank you that you care enough about how we're feeling. Amen. So a Christian life is with others, right? A Christian life is distinct. And a Christian life is discerning. Look at verses 19 to 22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. Do not is what Paul says. It seems like Paul is addressing here the approach and attitude the church in Thessalonica are taking towards the work of the Spirit and the prophetic of the time. And it can be an approach that maybe some people take today. But Paul is clear. The work of the Spirit can be quenched. Don't do it, is his instruction. He talks specifically about the prophetic, suggesting that it's something being dismissed and treated and not considering. Don't have that approach, is his instruction. Rather, Paul says, as you live the Christian life, be discerning. Don't simply accept everything that's said, but do test anything that is said, holding on to the good and rejecting the evil. See, as we follow Jesus, God wants to build us up and encourage us to stand firm in our faith, and he's given us his word to do this and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that enable and empower us for kingdom living. You see, the gifts that God gives to women and men should be grown and exercised, not quenched or suppressed by us or others. Paul said we should exercise discernment and test everything against God's word, because not everything will be true, right, or good. But words that are true, right, and good for us shouldn't be scoffed at. They're given by God to help us stand firm. And finally, as we close, we see a Christian life is dependent. Look at verses 23 to 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Paul is asking the God himself, the one who calls us to him, who is the God of peace, would sanctify all believers, that their whole spirit, body, and soul would be kept blameless for when Jesus returns. And because he is a faithful God, he will do this. Look, as we close our time together in 1 Thessalonians, I hope it's become clear that we're totally dependent on God for all things, our salvation and our ability to stand firm. God is the one who calls us, and God is the one who sanctifies our whole being. Again, I got a note here, sanctify ? Because that word lost me, just like admonish. And it means to be set apart for special use. So it's saying that every area of our life is to be set apart for God's purposes, made holy and blameless ahead of Jesus' return, and it's God who does this work in us. We heard in the last session, all of life is worship, and God wants to sanctify every area of our lives. And if you're anything like me, we can often put life into different compartments, right? Church, family, sport, work, university, friendship groups, relationships, money, and break it all up. God wants all areas of our life to be set apart for him, that in every area we are living to honor him in worship and witness. And it's God is the one that will enable this because of his faithfulness to us. The one who calls us and the one who will continue to work on us until Jesus returns. So New Year's training 2026. As you go on this year to use your God-given gifts in the world of competitive sport, as you look to stand firm to the end, as you seek to live out your faith and share it with those that God puts around you, Do it with others. Do it distinctly. Do it with discernment. And do it with dependence. Dependence on the God who called you, and dependence on the God that you can trust to continue working in every area of your life to make you more and more like Jesus ahead of his return. So go for it. Remember verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So let's reach the world of sport together this year, in community, on mission. Let me pray, and the band's going to come up, and we'll respond with some worship.